You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, men, women of God, mighty men of valor. We thank God for you on this morning. This is Victory International Praise. As a matter of fact, this is Kingdom Sound, a ministry of Victory International Praise, a radio broadcast ministry. We thank God for those that have been listening in. We have been having a great time, me and Minister Alex. Amen. We converse all the time, and I just love the sound that God is releasing through the man of God. And so we're going to jump back in. I can't remember where we were at prior, but this is the Wednesday broadcast. And I want you to check, make sure that you catch the Thursday and Friday broadcast also. You know, have a wonderful evangelist from our church, and she's a great teacher. Oh, glory to God. And I believe that God is just doing great things in her life. Praise the Lord. And that's evangelist Andre Jordan. And so I want to make sure that I let you know to tune in. All right, want to give a quick shout out to my wonderful wife, Teresa Robinson, of 33 plus years. Amen. Great wife. I thank God he set me up real good. Oh, glory to God. All right. How you doing, man of God?
I'm doing wonderful, sir.
All right. Well, we want to bless the hallelujah. God, we just thank you for being in the atmosphere. Come on. We came into a new place, and hallelujah. So we just want to welcome your kavod. Your hallelujah. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Go ahead, man of God.
Okay. Picking up where we left off, I was talking about how when Jesus talked about the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he was not talking about the devil. He was talking about ministries. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the example Jesus gave him in Matthew 23. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites, because you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You don't enter in, and you don't allow others to come in, and when they try, you hinder them."
Wow.
That's why Jesus said in John chapter 9 and John chapter 10, he said, "I'm the great shepherd of the sheep." You know, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The shepherd calls the sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and another voice they will not follow. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus talked about the porter, what you call the gatekeeper. Jesus said, "When I call to the sheep, the porter is supposed to open the gate and allow the sheep to come in to find pasture." So Jesus said, "All those who came before me were thieves and robbers because they would not open the gate so that the sheep could come in." That's why he said the thief doesn't come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life. So notice, Jesus called him the thief because he's stealing from you. Mm. Shutting the kingdom of heaven against men is exactly what religion does.
Wow.
Religion always says God one day, but not you. God will, but not you. There's always a reason why God can do all these things, but it's not going to happen for you. and what happens is that religion doesn't operate in the power of God because religion doesn't believe in the now. And like when you don't believe in the now, you have to justify it while staying spiritual. Mm-hmm. You know, I've actually said this before, and I'll say it again. There's a book. It's called Church History in Plain Language. I recommend it to everybody. Please get it. This one Bible scholar, his name is Brian Shelley, talks about, he digs into church history as far as why the apostles preached what they preached, because when they traveled around the world back then, they didn't all preach the same thing. Mm-hmm. When they would come into a different town or like a different region, they dealt with certain things because that's what they had to deal with according to the Spirit of God, according to how the Spirit of God was leading them. Okay. One of the things that they had to deal with, the Apostle Paul went and preached up on Mars Hill, you know, talking about, you know, an altar to the unknown God. Mm-hmm. Well, after a while, the great philosophers back in that day really had to accept that Jesus was not just a man, because Jesus did miracles in his ministry, and everyone who believed him afterwards did the same miracles. Mm-hmm. The miracles was not just limited to the 12. Okay, because Jesus didn't limit his power to the 12. Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you." Okay, well, the Holy Ghost was coming upon everybody, so that means everyone was receiving power. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the great philosophers finally had to accept that Jesus was more than just a man. They mentally assented that Jesus was a deity. They believed that he was a god of many gods, but they also believed that Jesus was not as spiritual as the other gods, because if he was, this is crazy. You see, when you hear like this, it's crazy. But mm-hmm. they said if Jesus was really spiritual, he wouldn't heal you; he would let you stay sick so that way you can suffer and learn something through your suffering. Okay. Now, that is what human thinking says to justify the supernatural happening. Yeah, Jesus is a God, but he's not really as spiritual as we are, because we believe in suffering. We believe in God teaching us things. Jesus didn't do that. Okay, the only thing that God taught a blind man was, "Do you want to see?" Mm-hmm. The only thing God taught that man that was laying by the pool for 38, I mean, think about it. This dude was laying crippled by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, and what does Jesus ask him? "Do you want to be healed?" Mm-hmm. You would think, why would even Jesus ask that question? Because Jesus was dealing with his mindset. Mm-hmm. This man was in the mindset of feeling sorry for himself. Jesus is the living word of God. All those promises that God had been promising for 4,000 years that now have become flesh and blood. The living word of God is standing in front of them saying, "You want to be healed?" When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming, he started crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And his friends told him to be quiet. The Bible says he cried louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me."
The crowd, yeah.
Jesus heard Bartimaeus crying out for him. And Jesus like, "Tell him to come here." And they said, "Bartimaeus, be of good cheer. Jesus is calling you." The Bible says he threw off that robe, that beggar's robe.
I got to thinking about the gatekeepers when you said that, because there was folks saying, "Shut up, be quiet."
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You have people that'll stand in your way. And this is why even decreeing and declaring is so important. Because one of the things that, you know, when me and my wife get up on, get up in the morning times and we pray and then we decree and declare things, you know, mm-hmm. and, cause the Bible says it shall come to pass. And so one of the things that we decree and declare that no man shall be able to stand before us all the days of our lives. Amen. No person, no woman, no man. Come on. Why? Because you'll have people that'll stand before you, getting back to the, mm-hmm. you know, the gatekeepers, praise the Lord. And because I just want to throw this in right quick, because sometimes we don't realize that, you know, well, I put it this way. We're all charged to pray. And sometimes when things happen in our homes, it's because guess what? Whoever the gatekeeper, whoever the spiritually mature person in that home is not keeping the gate shut. Sometimes we need to realize that the enemy come through portals. And there are times that we need to apply the blood of Jesus over every portal, come on, that the enemy can come through to attack my home. You can be a gatekeeper over your home. You can be a gatekeeper over your neighborhood. Come on, we were just praying for the neighborhood on this morning, me and my wife. You can be a gatekeeper over your city. When things happen inside of the city, come on, oh, glory to God. Is it because you allowed it? Is it because we are allowing it? Come on, when you start seeing strings of murder, why? The gatekeepers need to get on their post. We need to recognize this. Come on. That something is happening and begin to pray. You can be a gatekeeper over your county. You could be a gatekeeper. Come on, somebody. You know, the Bible says, who was this prophet? The Bible says that Elisha controlled the nation from his prayer chamber. Come on. When the enemy was getting ready to come, he was able to send word to the king. Why? Because he was a gatekeeper over the nation. You have gatekeepers over nations. Oh, glory to God. You have gatekeepers internationally. Come on. And so gatekeepers are just not even limited to ministries, because you have gatekeepers over ministries also. There, God have intercessors. One of the most powerful ministries in the church Oh, glory to God. It's the ministers of the intercessors. Come on. I just wanted to throw that in there, man of God. Go ahead.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good stuff. Because I'm going to touch that in just a second. Let me get back to Bartimaeus really quick. Jesus called for him. The Bible says that Bartimaeus threw off his beggar's robe because that beggar's robe, that was his way to make it through life. Because that beggar's robe let everybody know, I'm blind, I'm poor, I can't take care of myself. Help me. Can I say it like this? That beggar's robe, that was his welfare.
Ah, my God.
That was his welfare to make sure I might not be able to get a lot, but at least I can get something.
My God.
He threw that off, and then he came to Jesus, and the King of Kings says, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus says, I want to receive my sight. That means Bartimaeus knew that Jesus had sight to give. I'll touch that in a second. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus says, I want to receive my sight. Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. The Bible says Bartimaeus' eyes were instantly open. And we rush right over that. Jesus said, whatever you believe about me, whatever you believe, let it happen. The reason why Bartimaeus' eyes opened instantly is because he believed that Jesus would open his eyes instantly. Why instantly? Because God's name is now. We said that a few days ago. And when Jesus came saying that this scripture is fulfilled today, Jesus came to bring the now word, which is exactly why everywhere Jesus went, miracles happened. Nobody, when Jesus prayed for somebody, the prayer didn't happen 30 years later. Jesus didn't come to start a kingdom of waiting. The kingdom of God is now. Everywhere Jesus went, if the miracle didn't happen instantly, it happened within an hour. Every last one of them. You cannot, and the reason why that's so important is because if Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what the Heavenly Father is like, take a look at Jesus. Everything from Adam up to Malachi points to Jesus. And everything from Acts to Revelation points back at Jesus. If you want to know what the Heavenly Father is like, lock in on those four Gospels. If you want to know the nature of the heavenly, that's my phone. Sorry about that. Yeah, just got it on vibrate. Anyway, if you want to know the nature of the Heavenly Father that we have, take a look at Jesus' ministry. If you want to know what God's attitude about certain things, just take a look at Jesus' ministry. Mm-hmm. Did anybody ever come to Jesus in need and he said, wait? Mm-hmm. The answer is no. Jesus never made anybody wait for anything. So why is it that we think we're supposed to wait for stuff now?
You said something so powerful.
Yeah.
Because Jesus, God is our example. But getting back to something that you said Monday, he is our example. So why are the people of God working 3 and 4 jobs? I'm hearing people working all of these jobs. Because guess what? We're not operating according to the example that was set before us. Mm-hmm. You know, we even going back to, like you were talking about, going back to the beginning, Genesis. If what God called work is opening our mouths and speaking to creation, oh, glory to God. Because Adam was in the Garden of Eden, and he wasn't, you know, cutting trees down and replanting them or pulling trees up. He was saying, I want you over here. I want this oak tree over here. I want your roses to, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we need to understand that was work, and he wasn't sweating. He didn't sweat till after he sinned. And so we need to understand that what God called work is speaking. And then he even rested from that. And so you need to learn as a child of God to begin to operate the way God operates. Come on. And so you need to get in the now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reason getting in the now is so important. And in order to get into the now, you have to get in those four Gospels. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to change how you think. Just like that book, John Avanzini, Unanswered Prayers Answered. He said, the greatest scandal in the church is when a Christian prays and nothing happens. And when I read that, the first thing the Holy Ghost told me to do, go to John 15, which is that passage we quoted. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. He said, if you abide in me, check this out. Jesus said, if you live in me and let my word live in you, you can ask anything. Now watch how fast religion waters that down. Jesus says, if you live in me and let my word live in you, you can ask me anything and I'll give it to you so that the Father is glorified. Every time Jesus did a miracle, almost the next line is, and the people glorified God. There is no such thing as praying, nothing happening, and the people glorifying God. Why? Because nothing happened. Nothing happened. If I pray... If I pray for you and nothing happens, nobody's going to glorify God. You won't glorify God. As a matter of fact, you will think God's not real because I prayed and nothing happened.
You're preaching.
I mean, like, just watch, think. Just think about it. If I say I'm a Christian, if I say I'm going to pray for you and I'm believing God to heal you, if I put my hands on you and you're sick and I take my hands off you and still sick, and then I try to cover it up by being spiritual, oh, it's not God's timing, you know, not enough faith, all this other stuff, God's trying to teach you something, that person will not glorify, that person will resent God. Because in his mind, God has all this power to do something. He sees I'm struggling, he sees I'm suffering, but for some reason, he tells me to keep suffering because there's some hidden truth in that. That goes back to that religious stuff that the great philosopher said. That stuff crept into the church 1,700 years ago. I'm going to give a little history from that book, Church History in Plain Language. If you go to the book of Jude, you remember that Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That actual translation, once delivered for all to the saints. The faith that was once delivered for all to the saints. What happened is, you know, persecution in the church was crazy. Like the original apostles. I mean, crazy. I mean, Nathanael, the one that Jesus said, you know, behold a son of Israel in whom there was no guile. Nathanael was skinned alive and crucified upside down. That's the kind of persecution, that's the kind of persecution was going on in the church. Then around the 300s, Emperor Constantine, the Emperor of Rome, got born again. He truly got born again. His first command after getting born again was all persecution against Christians must stop immediately. His first command, because he's now a brother in Christ. He understands what's going on. His second, one of his second commands, this was not good. He declared Rome to be a Christian nation. Good heart, heart was in the right place, bad thing to say. Because now, if Rome is a Christian nation, now everybody's a Christian, whether they're born again or not. Mm-hmm. So all of these temple priests, all of these pagan priests who are worshiping Diana, worshiping Artemis, and Diana and Artemis, the same thing, worshiping Diana and all these other gods, now, because they can't worship those gods anymore because Rome's a Christian nation, now we're not pagan priests, now we're pastors. They weren't born again, minds never got renewed, they never repented of their sin, that like they were still unsaved. Mm-hmm. And so all they did was they brought their traditions and their philosophies into the church. Mm-hmm. And back then they already believed that Jesus wasn't really spiritual, because if he was spiritual, he wouldn't heal you anyway. Mm-hmm. So now we got this issue in the church. You've got people who are born again laying hands on the sick and the sick getting well. And you got people who are not born again, who are pastors, bishops, whatever, laying hands on the sick and nothing happening. So we say, well, why is it that person got healed and this person didn't? Here we go. Well, God is sovereign. God does what he wants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it might not be God's will for you to be healed. Maybe he wants to teach you something. And that has been in the church for 1,700 years. And the reason why God is bringing the now message like really, really strong is because we talk about how we're in the last days, and we are. So we have to become a last days church, mm-hmm. which means that we can't be praying for the sick and nothing happening for 5 years. That doesn't glorify God.
Right.
We can't be speaking and nothing happening. That doesn't glorify God. Okay. The Bible says in this is good. Bible says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. In the New Testament, Paul says that earnest expectation is hope. Like faith is faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of what you hope for. In other words, your earnest expectation is what you're believing is going to happen mm-hmm. someday. You see, hope is not happening. Hope is what you want to happen someday. Mm-hmm. Faith turns that someday into now. That's why he said faith is the substance of what you hope for. Faith does not allow you to sit and wait with a smile. Mm-hmm. Faith makes it happen.
Yeah.
And faith makes it happen. And so what religion works overtime to condition your brain to think that faith is waiting. Mm-hmm. Faith does not make you, faith is not waiting. Because if faith was waiting, Jesus would have never came. If faith was waiting, Jesus would have never healed anybody instantly. Every person that came to Jesus, when they walked away, they got what they asked for. Not a single one of them walked away and didn't get what they asked for. Even when the Syrophoenician, check this out, Jesus told the Syrophoenician woman. The Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and said, my daughter is demon possessed. Please help. Jesus said, it's not time for you. I've only been sent to the Jews. Right. She didn't care. Jesus, like, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She said, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs. She didn't care. She didn't care. The only thing that mattered to her was, I have a need. My child has a need. I don't care what you call the timing of God. I'm coming to you in faith, believing
her
that you will do something
now.
Her faith
got her a season that she wasn't even, her faith rewarded. Okay, it wasn't even her season,
yeah,
but because of faith.
Right. It literally was not time. Jesus said, I am not sent to anyone but the house of Israel. She was like, I don't care. Because faith does not care about the timing of God. Faith causes the timing of God to shift from whatever it is to now. Because, you know, like whenever we pray, we always talk about, well, you know, we're praying, but, you know, it's all in God's timing, all in God's timing. Because we think God's time is later. God's timing has never been later. The only reason why we pray and sometimes we wait on God's timing, it's not God's timing we're waiting on. You know what we're waiting on? We're waiting on the word of God to change how we think we're waiting on the word of God to cause us to repent. Because remember, repent doesn't mean to stop sinning. Repent means to think again and to reconsider what you're thinking already. We're waiting for the word of God to come, knock down those strongholds, those thought patterns that cause us to think and feel a certain way. The stronghold, why is it called a stronghold? It's a thought pattern that has a strong hold on you. These thought patterns refuse to let us go. These thought patterns cause us to believe that God is something that he isn't. The Bible says in Proverbs that hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you hope and hope and hope and it doesn't happen, your faith doesn't get stronger. It gets weaker. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I'll give you an example. Let's say you and me are friends. You know I'm struggling. You know I'm going through something. You have the ability to do something about it, and you don't. Mm-hmm. Is that going to make me love you more, or am I secretly going to start to resent you? Hmm. But somehow, religion teaches us that we can pray and wait 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and we still trusting and believing God. No, you're not. Seriously, no, honestly, because this is where you got to start getting real. You have to start getting real. Say, no, I'm actually starting to resent this, because why isn't this happening? Because mm-hmm. because you're thinking the Almighty God, who has the power to do anything, for some reason is not doing something about this. But somehow I'm still supposed to love him, serve him with joy and gladness. You know, we pull scriptures out of the Old Testament to try to make it sound spiritual. But the bottom line is we start resenting.
Yeah.
That's why people fall away from the church, because they prayed and something happened. The only time, check this out. The only time we talk about this, have you noticed? The only time we talk about the sovereignty of God is when we pray and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that.
Yeah.
The only time we talk about God being sovereign is when somebody goes to the word of God, prays, and nothing happens. Well, God is sovereign. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And we start pulling all these verses out of context because we haven't allowed the word to show us who Jesus is. According to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that God has given us his spirit so that we can know all things that have been given to us freely by him. If they've been given freely, what are we waiting for? One more thing, then I'll hush. Remember you talked about the keys, breakthroughs, all that stuff, not knowing who we are. When Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail, the next verse he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in the heavens. Whatever you loose on the earth is loose in the heavens. The word ecclesia, it's a political term. It refers to, the best way to describe it is like a political cabinet, kind of like a joint chiefs of staff. Pretty much political officials would come together, discuss the affairs of the city or the region. What's going on? What do we need to fix? What do we need to work on? What needs to stop? What needs to start? Jesus said, upon this rock of who I am, I'm going to build my joint chiefs of staff. And the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates will not prevail. Why did he say gates? Gates have a key. Gates have a lock. The purpose of a gate is to keep something from coming in, or to let something out that needs to come out. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon the revelation of who I am. And then he says, and then I'll give you the keys. He said, I have given you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind, whatever mm-hmm. you lock,
yeah,
will be locked. Whatever you unlock will be locked. But
we're unlocked.
But we go back to the verse where David called God the Lord of the breakthrough. We go back 3,000 years to try to change what Jesus said 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to have a New Testament relationship with God with Old Testament rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why nothing's happening. We're praying for breakthroughs when Jesus put keys in our back pocket. But this is why it's so important. We have to let the word of God come and renew our mind and challenge our thinking, because in the last days, we have to live in a New Testament relationship with God. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. I say this stuff to trip people's thinking, but just think about it. Jesus walked on water. Aren't we supposed to be doing the same thing? Jesus said, he who believes on me, the same works I did and greater, because I'm going to my Father. Jesus went to the Father 2,000 years ago. Why are we not doing the same works? Forget the greater works. Why are we not doing the same?
Yeah, yeah.
Why are we not laying hands on the sick and the sick getting healed instantly? Why are we not raising the dead? Why are we not casting out demons like nothing?
You're preaching. You know,
my thinking's jacked up.
When I get up in the morning and I'm decreeing and declaring things, one of the things that sometimes that I say is I decree and declare that I walk on water in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And the reason why I declare it, because I like going on cruises. And if something ever goes wrong with the cruise ship, oh, glory to
no
God.
No problem.
My faith has been built in that area. Come on, I've been declaring it. And I expect that if I got to walk on water because I don't know how to swim, oh, glory to God, I'm going to walk on the water, walk all the way back to Cape Canaveral. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Sounds crazy, but
that's what Jesus did.
And Jesus said, according to your faith.
And so we got to take the limits off of God. And mm-hmm. I got about 30 seconds. We thank God for Brother Danny. Thank God for Minister Alex.
Yes,
oh, glory to God. Thank God for you. Hallelujah. So start, you know, faith comes by hearing. If sometimes our faith we need to keep hearing so that we could believe truth, and the truth will make you free. All right. God bless you. Love you. Thank you for listening in. This is the Wednesday broadcast. We're turning you over to Danny.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 a.m. Tuesday night Bible study starts at 7:30 until 8:30. For more information about our services, the telephone number is 321-358-7455. You have been listening to Kingdom Sounds of Victory International Praise. Our email address is vipministries@att.net. Once again, our church address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In 1792, a group of New York bankers gathered by a famous tree on Wall Street and signed the landmark Buttonwood Agreement. Against the backdrop of speculation and deceit, the document signaled a return to openness, fair dealing, and integrity among New York's financial sector. Eventually, the Buttonwood Agreement became the basis for what's now known as the New York Stock Exchange. Well, today, corporate America faces a different crisis of values. Spurred on about a decade ago by the push for so-called environmental, social, and governance principles, a huge percentage of top corporations are now committed to an increasingly radical progressive agenda. That agenda is forced on employees and on customers and on anyone whom these corporations do business with. Recently, I spoke with Paul Fitzpatrick, president of something called the 1792 Exchange. Their vision is to steer public companies back toward a common-sense vision of the workplace. In our conversation, which airs as a special bonus episode on the Breakpoint podcast, Paul and I discussed how ideas that were long entrenched in the university and the arts eventually reached corporate America. Here's Paul.
Corporations impact what we see, how we entertain ourselves, how we feed ourselves, how we clothe ourselves, and how we fund our businesses. They can either put gas on the fire of something good or put gas on the fire of something bad.
And part of the issue, Paul goes on to explain, is just how progressive groups targeted corporations after the financial crisis of 2008-2009.
Remember how unpopular they were after the 08-09 crisis, and taxpayers bailed them out, and everybody on the right and the left were mad at corporations. Wall Street is very unpopular, and they're looking for a way to cozy up and get the Occupy Wall Street folks and Congress off their backs, and to some extent conservatives. At the same time, the left is looking for a way to leverage corporations. You had said they already captured